Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So we're now past that 50 episode mark. Last week was obviously episode 50, and that was me talking about 10 things I wish I knew in my 30s when it comes to perimenopause. So let me know if you've listened to that one, if you had anything to add, anything to comment on. I'd love to hear from you, any questions. And as I also need to ask, because I just never do, before we get into this episode, I would love it if you're enjoying these episodes and you're listening to them often, maybe every week, or maybe you've only listened to one, but you found it helpful. I would just love if you could leave me a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on. If it's Apple that you're listening on, you can also leave a very short sentence or two of something that you might want to say about the podcast, because really the reviews and the ratings is the only way that anyone can actually grow their podcast. So I would love this podcast to obviously reach more women just like you and me to help them and make this, just to for everything that I teach and talk about to reach more people. Okay, so I'm going to talk today about something known as metabolic flexibility. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this episode, then you're probably, this probably doesn't apply to you. You know, you obviously don't find these topics boring, but I always think, because I love geeking out on this sort of stuff, I find it so interesting. Obviously, it's part and parcel of what I do every day and what I'm specialized in. But sometimes I think, you know, do people find these topics really boring? They just don't want to know. They just want to know what to do. And of course, many people do just want to know what to do, right? That I'm the same when it comes to any other sort of aspect of my health, not just nutrition. I kind of just want to know what to do. But I'm also the sort of person that does want to understand the why. I want to understand the mechanisms. I want to understand what's happening, why I'm having this certain issue or symptom, you know, whatever it's related to, and then obviously understand and know what to do. So I'm hoping that obviously if you're listening to this episode, then you're that person probably that does want, that is interested in the why before just knowing what to do. So today I'm going to go into this thing, like I said, metabolic flexibility. So maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't, maybe this title intrigued you. When we talk about health, especially in midlife, so basically midlife, I found out recently, means 35 upwards. It was a term I wasn't actually using for ages because I've always thought that midlife was a lot kind of later on upwards. But yeah, mid-30s basically. So especially in our 40s, when we talk about health, 40s and upwards, we often hear people wishing for a fast metabolism. So that's what we've always said, right? I've always talked about that when I was younger, and you hear people saying, oh, I just wish I had a fast metabolism, or she's got a fast metabolism, which is why that she doesn't have any trouble with weight gain and I do because mine's slow, and so on. But the real key to long-term health and also healthy weight isn't actually the speed of our metabolism, but it's the flexibility of our metabolism. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about what metabolic flexibility actually means, why it matters so much, particularly during perimenopause and beyond, and what we can do to support it, no matter what stage we're at, where we're starting from. And hopefully you'll understand at the end as well why we shouldn't really speak in terms of fast or slow metabolism, but more in terms of how flexible our metabolism is. So one of the probably biggest takeaways from today that I want everyone to get is that perimenopause, and I say this, you know, I'd say this every week, but perimenopause isn't just a time of decline. I would say it's not a time of decline. Whilst hormones, progesterone is declining, cortisol is changing, estrogen is changing and eventually declining later on as we move towards actually reaching menopause, we don't have to see it as a decline in us, in our health, in everything, you know, my weight, joint health, aches and pains, all of these things, whilst we are, many of us are experiencing these sorts of symptoms, and it can feel like a decline. You know, I get days where I just feel just so exhausted and achy and just like, oh, you know, I can't help but, because I didn't really feel like that in my 20s and 30s. And I'm feeling it now at this particular junction of my life that I'm in. And some days it does feel like everything's declining, everything's just falling apart, you know, physically. But it isn't a time of decline. It's actually a window of opportunity. It's a window of opportunity for our health, for us to start improving our health, really looking at what's going on and addressing things, you know, not ignoring things anymore and saying, oh, I'll deal with that later. We want to deal with it now. And it's a fantastic opportunity during perimenopause to have certain health imbalances highlighted to us by way of various symptoms, and just address them once and for all. Because once we learn the things that will help us, which hopefully my episodes are helping with, if you're listening to them week on week, we can start to act and not only improve our well-being for now, because obviously we want to feel better now, but also for later. So I know, for example, all the things that I'm doing to support my body during perimenopause and my mind is all so helpful for my life post-menopause, when that time eventually comes and I'm in my 50s and going through my 50s and 60s. Everything that I'm doing now is supportive of those phases. That's not to say, you know, I'll be completely exempt from any bad things happening. Who knows? We just don't know. But I know that everything I'm doing is an investment, not just for now, but in my future health. And I think that's really powerful. Mm. So that's how we can look at perimenopause. Okay, so what is metabolic flexibility? So in simple terms, metabolic flexibility is your body's ability to seamlessly switch between using glucose, so sugar, for energy, and using ketones, fuel derived from fat, to produce energy. So we can tap into either one of these sources at any one time, the glucose or the ketones. One is sugar, one is fat derived fuel, and we can tap into those sources anytime to produce energy. And that's what metabolic flexibility means. It means that we can seamlessly switch between those two depending on what's available. Energy is also, you may have heard it referred to in science terms as ATP, which stands for adenotriphosphate, which is basically in the mitochondria of your cells. So all the cells in your body have a tiny little mini cell, like an organelle inside the cell, which is known as the mitochondria. And that's where your ATP, your energy, lives. So it's kind of like where it's all housed. So we can use glucose or ketones to produce this energy inside the mitochondria of the cells. And that's what fuels our cells, fuels our bodies to do the things that they need to do. It fuels our metabolism. It fuels energy production, moving your muscles, helping you think clearly. It's cognition, just everything. So, for example, low ATP production in the mitochondria could result in, you know, issues with cognition, brain fog, foggy thinking, lack of clarity, aches and pains, you know, muscle aches and pains, for example, because they just don't have enough ATP, enough fuel to keep them going optimally. So they're just kind of like wading through treacle. Just like how a car engine needs fuel to run, your cells rely on mitochondria to turn fuel into this usable energy to support all the different systems and all the different processes. The healthier your mitochondria are, the better your cells can work, which supports your overall health and your energy levels. And also, this is all, you know, linked to weight regulation as well. And I say that because a lot of women, specifically from 40s upwards, do find that they're struggling with weight gain. And that's when this term, you know, my metabolism is slowing down, comes in. And this is why I want to sort of say that it's more about the flexibility of our metabolism. So today's episode will help. So a metabolically flexible body system can fire up brain cells and support cognitive performance. It can activate anti-inflammatory and healthy aging pathways, anti-aging pathways, longevity pathways. It can modulate the immune system to prevent infections and prevent or manage any autoimmunity in the body. It can efficiently burn fat while maintaining muscle mass and energy levels. So, you know, obviously we want a metabolically flexible body as much as we can. When your metabolism can efficiently switch between those fuel sources, glucose and ketones, you're less likely to store excess energy as fat. So particularly around the middle. So you'd have less fat around the middle, for example, an easier time like maintaining that. And the more likely you are to feel energized, clear-headed, strong, resilient, for example. So let's go into what ketones are a little bit more. So ketones are these molecules that are made in the liver from fat, usually during periods of low glucose availability. So when there's not much glucose available in the body, such as overnight fasting, you know, which we should all be doing. We finish our dinner, we don't start breakfast until the next day. So we have this overnight fasting time. So during that time, that's a specific period where that would happen. These ketone molecules are being made in the liver from fat. It can also happen when we have like a much lower carbohydrate intake. So for example, if you're following a keto diet, hence keto diet means, you know, you're producing ketones, or any extended, particularly fasted exercise as well. They're a powerful fuel source, particularly for the brain. This is why I actually love using a tablespoon every morning, a tablespoon of MCT oil. That stands for medium chain triglycerides. They are a type of fat that's easily digested and absorbed. And they're a sort of ketone type of fat, really great for brain health. So I tend to have a tablespoon in my morning breakfast, or even in my herbal tea or my smoothie, and I might even have another in the afternoon. And that's the type of fat that's easily digested and absorbed quite rapidly, so it gets to the brain quickly. So MCT oil is basically a type of, it's the fat that's in coconut oil. So you can also get it from coconut oil itself, but you can buy MCT oil where they've actually extracted it already, and it's in liquid form rather than solid at room temperature. So you can think of ketones as like backup batteries, your body's sort of plan B. When glucose isn't immediately available, your body should be able to find and access and use ketones for energy. But what happens is, we'll talk about that in a moment, is some people just can't, if they don't have the glucose, they can't actually efficiently access their ketones. And then they end up with like brain fog, cognition issues, low energy, muscle aches and pains, for example. In a metabolically flexible body, that switch between glucose and ketones is smooth, it's efficient. And that then keeps your energy level stable, your cognition all, you know, firing up really well. So why does this matter in perimenopause? So perimenopause is just a phase of such profound hormonal change. The hormonal changes of perimenopause are significant. Obviously, if you've listened to all of my episodes, I talk about this all the time. That's what this whole entire podcast show is about. If you haven't yet listened to episodes specifically 2 and 3, I think, which obviously like last year now, that's where I really go deeper into what is going on with our hormones in perimenopause. But I have obviously in other episodes gone into that as well. But those two, I think it's episodes 2, 3, and maybe 4 as well, are quite detailed. So do go back to those. But yeah, it's a time of such profound hormonal change. And they have the way that our hormones are shifting, not just estrogen and progesterone, but also cortisol, thyroid, insulin. Those changes have such a direct impact on your metabolism, changing it from potentially having been flexible to now being not very flexible, not very efficient. In your 20s and 30s, the natural rhythm of estrogen and progesterone throughout the menstrual cycle, it helps to regulate mitochondrial function. So those, you know, energy powerhouses of our cells, and supports that metabolic flexibility. So that's why we kind of tend to have an easier time for the most part in our 20s and 30s with energy, with cognition, with muscle. You know, we don't tend to have muscle aches and pains in our 20s and 30s. We're not sort of complaining about brain fog for the most part. Obviously, some people are, but mostly in our 20s and 30s, we're not really dealing with these things. And we're finding it easier to regulate our weight as well in those decades. Estrogen and progesterone are so... These hormones fuel your brain, they fuel your metabolism, they fuel your resilience. And when they're in natural rhythm and healthy balance, healthy levels. They support all of our other hormones as well that I just mentioned, like thyroid, cortisol, insulin. They all play a huge role in mitochondrial function and metabolic flexibility. So 20s and 30s, things were just so much easier. But during perimenopause, when estrogen levels become unpredictable, soaring really high one moment, crashing really low the next, and progesterone is steadily declining, that shift, those shifts affect our metabolic rate, because estrogen plays a key role in regulating the enzymes that drive metabolic flexibility. There's an enzyme, you don't have to remember this, but there's an enzyme called AMP, activated protein kinase, or AMPK, and also something called sirtuins. You may read about these, you know, in certain, that's why I'm just sort of explaining them. And when estrogen levels drop, the ability to burn fat and switch fuel sources diminishes. You know, these proteins diminish as well, so that we're just not as good, not as efficient. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do. So obviously what I'm doing now is just explaining the sort of science, but there's a lot that we can do to improve our metabolic flexibility. We just have to know. The other thing that the shifts in estrogen and progesterone causes is more inflammation and something known as oxidative stress, because estrogen also helps regulate antioxidant activity in the body and anti-inflammatory gene expression in the body as well. So all of these lovely antioxidants that we're able to make in our body when things are, you know, all looking really well, helps to prevent our cells from oxidizing, basically. You can sort of see that, you can liken it to rusting, like a cell that's rusting. And that is known as, that's what's known as oxidative stress. And obviously over time that leads to unhealthy aging and disease progression over time as well. And things like not feeling very well in terms of fatigue, brain fog, low energy, muscle aches and pains, that sort of thing. With less estrogen, so once it starts its decline later on in perimenopause, but even during its erratic fluctuations when it drops too low, that those low levels of estrogen can mean there's more inflammation, more oxidation, and mitochondrial resilience and power decreases. And then brain energy is affected by the decline in progesterone, the erratic nature of estrogen, because mitochondria power your brain cells. And low metabolic flexibility can then start to contribute to things like a foggy head, fuzzy head, brain fog, cognition issues, forgetfulness, and mood issues as well, particularly low mood. So many women experience all of these symptoms during perimenopause and menopause. And it's not, you know, it's all linked back to the decline in progesterone, that the erratic nature of estrogen, its eventual decline later on. But then there's all of these other things going on as a result of that that are then also feeding into it. So the good news about all of these different things that can be going on all at once and this kind of domino effect that's going on behind the scenes in the body is that the same set of nutrition and lifestyle and nervous system regulation habits support everything. So we don't have to pick apart all these different mechanisms and processes that are going on in the body and do a different thing for all of these and use maybe different supplements or different diets. We just need the same set of, yeah, nutrition, lifestyle, maybe targeted supplementation, certain types of exercising, all of these different things, these foundational nutrition and lifestyle habits have this, you know, this, the same habits have an effect on everything. And that's what I teach, essentially. That's what I teach with one-to-one clients. We work through all of these foundational pieces together. Once all of those are really, really well set, we'll then look, you know, what else could be going on, nutrient deficiencies. Is there any further testing that we might need to do? Anything that we need to dive into? But usually once the foundations have been set, people start to notice amazing improvements and probably don't need to look any further, but some people do need to look further. And that's also what I teach in the Midlife Thrive membership. So this is something that I'm launching properly in September, which is when you'll be roughly listening to this. And inside the membership, it's £29 a month, cancel any time. But inside the membership, it is basically a self-paced course that you work through. So this is just tutorials that I've recorded based on all of the information that I'm sharing. At the moment, it's like 9 modules and there's 6 core ones. The other 3 are sort of diving deeper. I'm always adding new stuff. And there's also a month. 2 calls each month, 2 group calls. We jump on a call together as a group and just discuss anything that's come up that particular week, any questions anyone's got. Nobody has to be working through the course at the same pace at all. The group calls are really just questions from you guys about yourself, your own journey. If you want to ask questions about the course, you can. But otherwise, that's not really like what the call is supposed to be for. We also have an online community, so you can just jump in there anytime and ask questions from your fellow members, to me. So it's a really supportive community, and so much information, so much sort of education is in there, which you can actually take or leave, or you know, just dip into what you feel is relevant for you at the time. And the beauty of just paying that month, that low cost monthly fee, and just remaining in the membership for as long as you want, is you can just really slowly dip in and out of certain modules as and when it's the right time for you to be in that particular module. They can be worked through in order, they don't have to be worked through in order, but those group calls, the group support calls, are really where the magic happens. So yeah, if you feel that you want to kind of dive in there and have that support whilst you're learning all of this stuff, do that. Then there's a link to join in the show notes, or you can just go to my website to join as well. Okay, so let's carry on. So what affects metabolic flexibility? So obviously I've said that the shift in hormones of perimenopause are always going to affect metabolic flexibility. There's so many factors basically that influence how flexible we are metabolically, how easy it is for us to switch between glucose fuel stores in the body and ketone fuel stores in the body. The good news is that most of these factors are within our control. So like I said, the same set of foundational nutrition and lifestyle and supplement and whatever else habits can address all of these things. But let's just go through some of these factors. So some of the key disruptors of how metabolically flexible we are insulin resistance. So that starts with poor blood sugar control. So after a period of time where we're not controlling our blood sugar properly, we're having imbalances in, you know, having blood sugar highs followed by blood sugar lows, usually very much related to the foods that we're eating, and stress, sleep, caffeine, all of these things impact our blood sugar control. Over time, that will eventually lead to insulin resistance, where the cells in the body, which I've done separate episodes on, cells in the body become resistant to the action of the hormone insulin, which basically means that they stop efficiently soaking in glucose for energy. So if we're in this insulin resistant state, which does become more likely as we move through perimenopause because of those changes in estrogen, we can end up with becoming metabolically inflexible. A diet high in really processed, ultra-processed foods, highly processed fats, sugars, refined carbohydrates. If these are the sorts of foods that we're relying on pretty much every day, all the time, we're probably also likely to be low in the good stuff if we're relying a lot on these types of foods. And that together will impact metabolic flexibility. If we have chronic inflammation and this oxidative stress, which is chronic systemic inflammation, is much more common than anyone actually realizes. So it's quite easy, as I said, as we move through perimenopause, for that, but chronic systemic inflammation to become more likely. Poor muscle mass. So if we're not eating, for example, enough protein to allow the body to maintain and hold on to its muscle mass. But most importantly, if we're not, for example, doing things that help to build the muscle mass that we are unfortunately all losing after age 30, everybody, men and women, all start to lose a certain percentage of muscle mass each year, every 10 years. But that tends to accelerate as a woman moves through perimenopause because of the shift in hormones and how protective a lot of these hormones are for muscle mass. So if we're not actually doing things to help build a muscle, for example, weight training, strength training, lifting weights, whatever you want to call it, and coupling that with really good amounts of protein in the diet, it can lead to poor muscle mass. And that creates issues with our metabolic flexibility. Disruptions to our circadian rhythm, so our sleep-wake cycle, if we're going to bed too late, if we're waking up too late, if we don't get natural daylight within sort of half an hour of waking up in the morning, if we're snoozing all morning, for a while before we actually get out of bed, if we're exposed to bright lights at night, right up to bedtime on our screens, all of these things disrupt our circadian rhythm, and that has a knock-on impact to metabolic flexibility as well. Gut health imbalances, because that it tends to sort of impact, has a direct relationship to our hormone health, you know, thyroid health, insulin, estrogen, progesterone, all of them are impacted by gut health imbalances. There's so much research into certain types of unfriendly bacteria living in the gut. So if we don't have a really healthy, what's known as microbiome, population of bacteria living in the gut, and we're not having regular bowel movements, for example, all of this has been linked to metabolic health and disruptions to metabolic flexibility. If we have poor liver detoxification, so if we're not supporting our liver, all the different pathways in the liver in its detoxification pathways, various nutrients, like if we don't have really good levels of like B12, B6, folate, things like choline, lots of zinc, eating enough protein. There's lots of things that feed into liver detoxification. But if that's not working very well, then that also impacts metabolic flexibility. Sedentary lifestyle, so we're just not exercising. We have desk jobs. We don't get out that much. Then all of these things can affect that as well. That's also going to impact the body's ability to just switch between these two fuel sources. So the other thing I just want to touch on is this thing of this concept of metabolic reserve. So I use that term a lot, like when I'm talking to, so when I'm doing a lot of the courses that I do, continued professional development, and speaking to on a sort of sciencey level, when we're looking at this stuff, we'll talk about metabolic reserve. But what that means for you, what you would need to know, is that it basically means your internal resilience. So how effective how flexible our metabolism is really does reflect our internal resilience. So the more flexible our metabolism is, the more internal resilience we have. And this basically means your capacity to handle stressors, whether they're physical, emotional, environmental, dietary. We tend to think of stress in terms of like financial stress, rushing around, you know, having so much to do, or maybe arguing, having bad relationships, all of these things, which are, of course, emotional and mental stressors. But there's also physical stress. So insulin resistance, blood sugar imbalances, circadian rhythm disruption, all of these things, are any sort of chronic infections we might not know about, chronic systemic inflammation, gut issues, all of these things are physical stresses in the body. We have environmental stresses, which would be things like pollution, environmental chemicals that we might be putting on our skin or taking in through our foods and things. And then dietary stresses, like if we do have, for example, just as an example, if somebody had a dairy intolerance, but they eat loads of dairy without realizing they actually have an intolerance, then that would be a stressor as well. So our internal resilience is our ability to handle those stresses. It's like the ability to handle the onslaught. Now, obviously, we want to sort of minimize the onslaught, physical, emotional, environmental, dietary. Of course, we want to limit it, but we can't completely avoid it. So it's we want to also work on improving our resilience, our capacity to handle these stresses as well, once we also work on reducing them or minimizing them. So think of your internal resilience as your metabolic reserve, like a battery. The more you charge it with nourishing habits, so nourishing meals, good evening and morning habits to support your circadian rhythm, supporting your gut health, your liver health, then the more resilient you are. So to build and maintain these strong metabolic reserves, you need healthy cells, like the sort of outer layer of the cells in our body. That layer is the thing that allows nutrients to pass into the cells, and nutrients and signaling information to pass into the cells so that cells can communicate with each other properly. And they also allow waste to pass out of the cell. If our cells don't have this healthy cell membrane and they can't efficiently allow nutrients and signals to pass in and waste to pass out, we end up with problems like inflammation, oxidation, that sort of thing. So that starts to affect our health and also symptoms. We also want this strong antioxidant. We want to have plenty of antioxidant reserves in the body. So that can be coming in through food, maybe through some supplementation, some extra support, but also lifestyle factors play a big role in that as well. So we want to have sufficient stores of things like B12, B6, folate, iron, zinc, vitamin D, things like omega-3, fish oil, really helpful for this as well. We want to have a robust digestive system, immune system, liver detox pathways, hormones as healthy in production and balance as possible. And all of those things will just help to improve our internal resilience. So when we're in perimenopause, if we're not really taking a look at our, let's say, nutrition and lifestyle habits, and we're just kind of carrying on as we were, you know, and we're dealing with all these new symptoms, our hormones are changing significantly, and that's having a knock-on impact on other systems in the body, but we're not actually using this as an opportunity to say, right, what might I need to do differently? Then this sort of onslaught of stressors, physical, emotional, environmental, dietary, they take a toll, basically. They have such a bigger hit, they impact on us in our 40s when things, you know, when hormones are changing so much and these metabolic reserves are kind of declining a little bit. So that's why I say this is a window of opportunity to look at the things that we're doing and not doing and say, you know, do we need to start changing things? And, you know, like I say, I work with clients one-to-one for this. I have the group membership for this. But of course, if you're just listening to my episodes, maybe reading the blogs, maybe listening to other things, you might already be taking a lot from those things, a lot of action steps that you can start to put into practice yourself and already starting to notice a difference. So that, you know, that's great. So it's really just thinking about supporting mental and emotional stress. So that would be things like grief, relate, you know, how we manage that and process these things, because these are all inevitable. Relationship issues, loss, big change, big shifts in our life, moves, divorces, finance issues, trauma, past, present, fear, resentment, overwhelm, how we're sort of moving through these things, processing these things, dealing with these things, rather than, you know, making sure we're not just kind of pushing them down, pushing them to the back and not addressing these sorts of things. We want to be thinking about our metabolic stress in the body. So are we insulin resistant? Do we need to look at blood sugar balance? Are there things that we might need to start doing, like increasing our protein intake to prevent these blood sugar crashes, eating earlier in the morning than we're currently doing? Are we waiting until 11 a.m. to eat food? Maybe we need to start looking at things like that. Do we have low muscle mass? Probably if you're in your 40s and you're not doing anything to build muscle mass, might need to start looking at that. Is there inflammatory stress? So are there gut infections maybe that are unknown to you? Are you having a very healthy, fully formed bowel movement every single day, at least once? If not, we need to address why and make that start to be a thing. Do you have something known as leaky gut or intestinal permeability, where there's gaps in the lining of your gut that's allowing things to pass through from the gut into the body that shouldn't be there, and that would be causing this systemic inflammation response? Is there mold? Is there mold from maybe, it could be now, but maybe there was mold exposure in previous times and that's still in the body causing problems? Again, unbeknownst to you, is there lots of alcohol? Is there lots of chemical toxicity coming in through the products you're using, you know, on your skin, cleaning products, laundry detergents, that sort of thing? I have a separate episode on chemicals that you can check out. I'm not sure what number it is. I'm sorry. What's your circadian rhythm like? Are you having adequate daylight? Like I said earlier, are you getting into daylight, natural daylight, within sort of 30 to 45 minutes of waking up every day? Are you on screens at night and lots of bright lights in the house until you go to bed? So all of these things have a role? You know, they disrupt your circadian rhythm, which is a stressor. And then are there things like nutrient deficiencies? Are you dehydrated? Are you drinking enough water, enough electrolytes? Are you overtraining, under-exercising, you know, smoking? All of these different things to basically consider. But again, I don't want this to feel overwhelming, because if you're working, if you're listening through most of my episodes, I have addressed all of these things already. And these are really foundational. And like I say, the same set of quite simple nutrition and lifestyle habits can address all of the things that I've just said, which might sound overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming once you know the things that can address it. So again, the most important takeaway from today is that perimenopause isn't just a time of decline. It's actually a window of opportunity. Yes, symptoms can arise during this phase, new symptoms that we maybe never had before, or they can worsen during this phase, especially if your metabolic reserves were already depleted before you walked into your 40s. But this is a powerful time to rebuild, to really start to optimize your health, not just for the now, but for, as I said, the future, which I am personally really excited about, because these are things that, you know, the generations before us weren't aware of. They didn't have this information, and they may not have had the same, you know, opportunity to sort of sail more so through their older years, which I'm hoping I'll have, and you guys as well. Some would even say that perimenopause is a critical window to start addressing health on a much deeper level and really start taking care. So your diet, your lifestyle, your relationships, your boundaries, your nervous system regulation, and so on. What needs to change? Now really is the time. I would agree it's a critical window. It's a window of opportunity, yes, which sounds lovely. Also sounds a bit optional. I would say it's not optional. It's actually a critical window to start addressing these things. If you want to have, you know, optimum health as you and thrive, you know, as you age, for sure. So by supporting your mitochondria, your blood sugar levels, eating a nutrient-dense diet, building and maintaining new muscle mass, prioritizing your sleep and your circadian rhythm, prioritizing stress regulation, nervous system regulation habits, you can dramatically improve your perimenopause experience and your metabolic flexibility, and then go forth and build lifelong resilience, which is what we all want. This isn't just about weight or energy. It's about thriving now in our midlife and beyond, thriving until, you know, I want to be old, but very independent and active until I hopefully just fall off my perch one day. Wishful thinking, but who knows? So if you're feeling sluggish, if you're feeling foggy, if you're feeling like your metabolism has hit a wall, you're feeling achy, please know, because I feel like this on many, many days. There's, you know, just certain parts of my cycle where this really does get to me. And I can, you know, I can feel like I'm broken, you know, oh, I feel so awful today and what's happening to me. But I just want to say, like, we're not broken. You're not broken. It's just that your body, your health, your mind is all calling for more support. So when I feel this way, yeah, I can say, oh, you know, I'm due on in a few days. My hormones are at their lowest. Of course, I'm going to be feeling this way. But for me, it is also a knock on my door. It's my body saying, you've worked way too hard this week. You haven't taken time out. You haven't done any nervous system regulation work this week. You've let this fall to the side. You've been really worried about this. You know, finances haven't been good, whatever it might be. So I always know there's always a calling there for me to address something. So you can recalibrate. You can completely turn things around if you're feeling like you are broken. You can completely turn things around. You absolutely can. And usually, as I said, it might sound overwhelming what I've talked about today, but some really simple, the same really simple nutrition and lifestyle habits can have such a huge impact on all of this more complex stuff that we've talked about today. You can rebuild, and your body is capable of incredible transformation, even in your 40s, even in your 50s, even beyond that. It's never too early. I always say this is never too early to start, and it's also never too late. Never. I've seen changes in clients like within 3 weeks, just transformational changes from simple things. Sometimes before my clients, when we get off the call, before they even get their report from me, their actual proper set of recommendations, and they've just done a couple of things that we've actually talked about on the call, maybe just increasing protein, getting to bed earlier, whatever it might be. And they'll come back to me saying, I already feel 1,000 times better. I can't believe I wasn't already doing this. And these things sound simple, but sometimes they need that one-to-one time with an expert to listen to absolutely everything they say and to sort of put the pieces of the puzzle together and say, well, try this. But in the meantime, and I'll also work on the other sort of recommendations we're going to look at. And in the meantime, they have such big results and big shifts. So once they all start to feel better, once they already, you know, within those few weeks get these shifts, these positive shifts, now they're so pumped to start doing the other things that they may not have had the motivation for, the inclination for, because they just weren't feeling great at all. So if you want support navigating this transition, improving your metabolic flexibility, feeling energized again, feeling like yourself again, there's links in the show notes to work with me one-to-one or join the membership, Midlife Thrive. And as always, thank you for listening and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.